Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday night Parsha Share. Last week, we spoke about the Meraglim in conjunction with Parsha Shlach. And Robert asked so innocently that it always bothered him how you can have such great Talmidei Chachamim seemingly become corrupt and sin. And this week's Parsha, you have Korach, one of the greatest leaders in the Jewish people before his sin. And yet again, we see another example of a leader, of a Talmud Chacham, a tremendous, pious Jew who completely falls off. And this evening, we'll try to discuss a halachic response to rabbis who have performed the veros and how we relate to their Torah. Whoa. So before we go into the Makoros, it should be noted, I wouldn't feel comfortable speaking about this if not for the fact that this is already in writing. Headlines by David Lichtenstein. So in the second volume is a very extensive work on this topic, very impressive, called The Disgraced Rabbi. So I benefited from that. I did not listen to, but my brother Rabbi Rafi told me that Rav Arye Leibowitz has a 10-minute halacha called Learning Torah from Disgraced Rabbis. So that is apparently 35 minutes long. They wrote that as a disclaimer in what's called a 10-minute halacha series. And in addition to the Sefer headlines also has a podcast. And in the podcast, there's a two-hour-long podcast episode on The Disgraced Rabbi, where they interview Poskim as well as other, you know, communal leaders and psychologists, etc. Very amazing. That I did listen to a little bit, not the whole thing. So that is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. Let's begin with the Parsha, and then we'll discuss the Halacha, and we'll use Korach as the springboard. Torah says in this week's Parsha, V'tiftach ha'aretz piha, so we know the earth opened up its mouth, V'tivla otam, V'tbateyam et kol ha'adam asher li'korach v'es kol ha'ruchush. So Korach's entire family, all of his belongings, they were all swallowed up by the ground. They all went down. The earth covered them. They were lost among the congregation. What does that sound like? What happened to those guys? Just buried alive. Right? Not good. I was like, I don't know exactly, but let's just say it wasn't pretty. Yet, in Parshas Pinchas, Perchavav, Yadav, just coming up in the Parshios, the Torah says, Ubnei Korach lo mesu. The actual children, the biological sons of Korach, did not die. Rashi there, in Parshas Pinchas, explains that originally Korach's children were with him. And then, when there was a machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach, they actually did tshuva, and therefore they didn't really have the same fate as the rest of the rebellion, and they merited a special place in Gehenna, which is usually associated as a bad thing, but in this case it was a good thing that they merited a share of the afterworld in Gehenna, in a higher place, and apparently that's a good thing, you know, it could lead to good whatever, maybe in the next world, etc. So all of a sudden we see that on one level, Korach was like the worst. Very, very unique death given to that whole chevra. And Korach's own children, though, narrowly escape it. And what about Korach himself and his own chevra? So from the Torah, it sounds like that rebellious group were like the worst people. Yet, believe it or not, there's a machlokas tanaim as to whether or not this group has a share in the world to come. Says Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf Chesam and Aleph, Adas Korach Eina Atida La'alos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, when the Torah says both V'tichas Leim Ha'aretz, and then again V'yovdu Mitoch HaKal, it's a reference to both being destroyed from Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's a repetitive pasuk to teach us that these individuals, the rebellion, they have no share in the world to come. That means when Tichias HaMeisim happens, they will not be revived. They're done. That's what it sounds like from the Torah. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Because when Chana prayed in Tfilas Chana for a son, the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Hashem meimit u'mechayeh morid she'ol v'ya'al. Hashem has the ability to bring up those people who were brought down. And the Maharsha over there has an amazing commentary. So do you know why Korach rebelled? Believe it or not, it was somewhat l'shem shamayim, at least at first. Because Korach saw that there was some good that was supposed to come out of him. You know who it was? It was going to be Shmuel HaNavi. But not because of Korach, really. Why? Because Korach's children ended up doing tshuva. So Chana feels very badly. Chana is Shmuel's mother. And she says, oi, it was because of my children that Korach had no chilek in Olam Haba. She said, Hashem, you have to help. It was my fault. I caused this damage. I davened for a son, and Korach saw something great coming from his lineage with Shmuel HaNavi, etc. And he didn't understand how to interpret it. Chana did not want to bear the responsibility of Korach's punishment. And he quotes the Kli Yakar. I don't know if that ever happens. The Marsha, it's an edge who quotes the parish of the Kli Yakar La Torah. Fascinating thing to note. And that's how the Marsha explains this pasuk, because after all, the pasuk quoted by Eliezer is in Tefilas Chana. But be that as it may, it's a machlokas tanayim whether Adas Korach has a share in the world to come or not. And we could probably more easily understand the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, know that like they were just pure evil, and therefore they were kind of kicked out of the tribe. So what would be maybe a reason to explain Rabbi Eliezer to the Marsha's a fancy pshat that Chana davened? But the Gemara explains again in Sanhedrin, just one daf later, Kuftes Amid Beis, same machlokus is quoted. Rabbi Akiva holds that they have no chelek in Olam Haba. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira disagrees. Not this, not Rabbi Eliezer this time. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Harehein ka'aveda hamitbakeshes. It's like a lost object that you're looking for. What does David HaMelech say to Tehillim? Ta'iti kese oved. What, I strayed like a lost sheep. So David is saying, regarding the Bnei Korach, that they're lost, but you, Hashem, can find them. And specifically, they did mitzvos. If you look at the pasuk carefully, why is the lost sheep something worth finding? And you know what? Believe it or not, Korach's group, they observed the mitzvos. If you would have seen a picture of these individuals, you would have seen what we would call Orthodox Jews. They were not deviant in the classical sense of the word. They were very pious in their practice. They kept the whole Torah. Yet, again, power corrupts. They went off the derech, whatever you want to say happened. But all of a sudden, in the Machlokas Tanaim, we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and we have the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira, who hold that there is a glimmer, a spark of hope for Korach's group. They might have a place in the world to come, and there's something worthy of redemption here. Fascinating. Fascinating. Anyone want to take a guess as to why that would be? How could it be that Korach's rebellion, how that group can have a place in the world to come, or there's any merit? So again, we kind of saw already in the Gemara that they did observe the mitzvahs. Right? Does that make sense to anyone else? To me, it seems like Rabbi Akiva's opinion is a little bit easier to understand. It's an extreme opinion. They're just really bad and they get wiped off the map. Anyone want to take a stand between Rabbi Akiva versus the other opinion? Which one makes more sense? What would you say, Rav? Rabbi Akiva. You agree, Rabbi Akiva. Well, but did they not do mitzvos? They did mitzvos, no?
I think that the reason for doing what they were doing was
right.
Right.
So even their mitzvos, Robert's arguing, proved to be less than the Shem Shemaim. If they were really acting the Shem Shemaim, they wouldn't have done what they did. So there's a fascinating Gemara, also Sanhedrin. You know, the last parak in Sanhedrin, Chelek, it speaks all about, you know, the next world, who has a Chelek Olam Haba, who doesn't. And there, the Gemara says an amazing story. There is a Tana Mishum Rabbeinu. Amru makom nitbatzer lem begehenim. So we know that Korach's children have a special place in Gehenim. And v'yashvu alav amru shira. Amar Rabba b'barchana. So zimnecha, the one time, havaka izna b'orcha, I was walking on the way. Amar liyahu taya, there was an Arab merchant who approached me. And he said, come and I'll show you Blu'e de Korach. I want to show you the people who were swallowed up with Korach. In the desert, I can show you the tourist attraction. Azil Chaza Trey Bezoid Abikonafak Kitra Minai. So you saw these two holes in the desert where smoke was coming out of them. Shakal Gababa de Amran, he took some form of wool and he put water on it and he put it at the end of his spear and he put it there and Ichrach, and it burned up. So this place in the desert with smoke was so hot that it caught fire to this piece of wool. And then the Arab said, put your ear there. What do you hear? V'shamas tahavu ka'amri hachi. Moshe v'torah so emes. Moshe's Torah. They're emes v'ahein b'doim. And we are liars. So you can even say, I guess they did the tshuva. So again, we have to really do a little bit more homework here. Because on one level, before we learn that the sons of Korach did tshuva, here it sounds like even the group that got swallowed up did tshuva. I don't know, maybe it was too late that they did for them to do tshuva. But apparently there is some glimmer of hope for even Korach's group. And even if it's not Korach the individual, maybe his group, there is some form of redeeming quality. And let's use these sources as a springboard for Rachmana Letzlan, a contemporary issue of rabbis who have also performed forbidden acts, who have gone off the derech. And then the question becomes how to relate to their Torah. So let's throw the question out to the crowd. Maybe we'll pick on my buddy, my neighbor, Moshe Aharon. Now, Moshe also went to Gush. A thought-out individual. You know, Gush guys, they know how to think. Two sides, there was more than one side of the story. So, you know, Yididi, my friend of childhood, a fellow Power Ranger growing up. I was the blue Power Ranger, Moshe was the white Power Ranger. So Moshe, what would you say if a rabbi, Rachmana Letzlan, is caught in inappropriate behavior? He is now in prison, whatever, but he came out with some svarim years ago, what would you say? Or he has a good shiurim. We could still listen to them. We could still read the svarim. What would you say, Moshe? What's your initial approach?
There are different levels, you could say, of badness.
See, the gush guy, true to form, right? There's not one size fits all. There are different types of sin. So very, very good, of course. So there's no question that everybody sins, right? That everybody sins. And imagine if we were to say that you can never learn Torah from a rabbi who sinned. So, you know, David HaMelech, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's such literature about them doing sin on their own level, right? Yeah, Peter.
The old Sfarim are good and the new Sfarim are not.
So Brisker Chilek, Peter wants to argue that you could say the Sfarim written before the Aveira are kosher. And the Sfarim written after the Aveira are apostle. Peter is Mechavin too, or Hershel Shechter. That's exactly what Rav Shechter paskins. Excellent. So we can make a decision in a timeline. So Moshe wants to say not every sin is equal. And Peter says not every point in history is equal. And they're both legitimate. Both legitimate. Not every sin is equal.
But also, perhaps, what did the Sfarim on?
Oh, very good.
And what's the issue
here? Very good. So Howie, the Yavne Youth League commissioner. So he says like this. If you are caught up in tax fraud and you're in prison right now, but listen, you have a sefer on Hilchos Kashrus. Okay. So you know what? Like, anyway, you're going to say that because he stole money, he doesn't have the right to tell me if my chicken is treif or Rachmana Letzlan, if someone did something inappropriate in the sexual realm. But he has a wonderful sefer on Hilchos Brachos. So okay, a sefer on Hilchos Brachos has nothing to do with his averus. So. Right? So that's a very nice chiluk.
Yeah, but...
But...
I don't know. I'm conflicted because my personal view is that if, in general, if you can't trust the messenger, then you can't really trust the message. But I think you have to find the truth in the message on your own at that point.
You can't right.
necessarily go on a shock that doesn't have any other backing.
Very good. All right. So Howie, conflicted feelings. Maybe we could say that he has a little bit of hope, maybe not. So let's learn. Believe it or not, there are many, many Gemaras about this. It's pretty amazing, actually, how much Shas actually has to say about this. Here it is. I need, one second. All right, the Gemara is going to deal with Rav Elisha ben Avua. So here we go. The Gemara in Moed Katan Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So famous Gemara is quoted a couple places in Shas that basically The Torah says, "Im doma harav l'malach Hashem." If the Rebbe is like a malach, yivakesh Torah mipiv. Only then should you learn Torah from him. Im lav a yivakshu Torah mipiv. But if the Torah, if the Rebbe is not like a malach, so then when the Torah says, "Kisifse kon yishmeru das," the Torah yivakshu mipiv, ki malach shem zivakasu. Essentially, your Rebbe needs to be angelic in the sense that what? He needs to be a good role model. So if the Rebbe is not a good role model, you should not learn Torah from him. So then you have Acher. Acher is Rav Lisha ben Avua, Rabbi Meir's Rebbe. He is called Acher because he became a heretic. He had a philosophical problem with Hashem, and he literally went off the derech. And the daughter of Acher came before Rebbe, and she was poor. She said, Rebbe, Gemara Chagig Tes Rav and Rebbe's. Rebbe Parnasani, I need Parnasa. And the Rebbe said to her, who are you? She said, well, Bito shel Acher ani. I'm Acher's daughter. And he said, I can't support you. He was almost upset that a descendant of Acher was still alive. Meaning, I thought that all of Acher's descendants would be wiped out by now. Amrolo, here she says this chilling line. Zechor l'toraso v'al tizkor ma'asav. Try to only remember my father's Torah and try to forget my father's actions. Whoa. What do you think? Is that a legitimate concept? Meaning, for her.
It's his daughter.
Right, it's his daughter, right? So no gave a davar. And the Gemara says a fire came down and burned the bench of Rebbe a little bit. Meaning, and he started crying. He said, apparently, I was wrong. Meaning, when I insulted Acher's Torah, I got singed. And so therefore, if I complimented, I'm a little confused about how to end that Gemara. But the Gemara continues. Rebbe Meir was Acher's Talmud. So how did Rebbe Meir learn Torah from Acher? Rebbe Meir's Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan, you have to learn Torah only from someone who's angelic. So you know what the Gemara says? It's an amazing chiluk. Because there are certain psukim that say, like Acher's daughter, you can make a distinction between the person and his Torah. The Torah is still Torah, is it not? Is it? And Rebbe Meir says, lo kasha, ha bigadol, ha bikatan. If you're a gadol, so you are able to learn from such a person. If you're a katan, you can't. Why not? Because what? If you're a gadol, you're going to have backbone. You're sophisticated enough to understand that, listen, the Torah is legitimate, even though the teacher is not legitimate. But a katan is at risk for being brought in and negatively influenced. And they specifically praised Rebbe Meir. There's a pasuk, and it says that Talmud Chacham is like an ego, is a walnut, because an ego is, you know what, it could have dirt on the outside, but the inside remains clean, so too Talmud Chacham. Afal pi shesarach, even though he became, you know, spoiled, so to speak, ein toraso nim eses. Oh my gosh. So here you have a source, black on white, that says you can make a distinction not only between the shell of the nut, but and the good of the nut, but the actions of the rabbi, which are bad, as opposed to the Torah of the rabbi, which is good. Wow. And in fact, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Shila found Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said, well, what's going on in Shemaim right now? And he responded to Eliyahu HaNavi that, well, the Ribbono Shel Olam is learning Torah, and he's quoting all the rabbis, but he's not quoting Rebbe Meir. And Rabbi Bar Shila asked, why not? Well, because he learned from Acher, but Rebbe Meir had that capability of being able to decipher between the good and the bad. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, you know what, you're right. Wow. Like, it was overturned. So in this Gemara, we have a distinction where it's evidently possible. Wow. So if you're a gadol and you have the ability to kind of have a backbone, maybe you can learn from such people. So you read a book. So Howie's a very sophisticated individual, very high level of sophistication. And Howie says, listen, I know the guy who wrote this book is now off the derech, but I know how to weave. I know how to weave. And not so long ago, we had a shiur about secular music. And we said, you know, chachma begoyim tamin. There's a concept that although we don't learn Torah from non-Jews, we can learn chachma from non-Jews. It doesn't mean there are role models, but you know what? If there's a nice piece of literature, music, poem, whatever, so you know what? We know how to decipher between the product of the person and the person. But here we're talking about Torah, so I'm more sensitive, right? Yikes. So the Gemara in Moed Katan, Yitzhak Marav, has another source on the topic. There was a certain young rabbi, Dehavis Sanu Shmuune, very, very loaded term there. Apparently, there was a very bad report about him. He clearly was doing something wrong or was known to be doing something wrong. And Rabbi Yehuda had no idea how to act. He said, what should I do? L'shamte, if I put him in excommunication, that's not good. You know why? Srichi le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan need him. Meaning, I can't just excommunicate this rabbi because he's a tremendous resource. We need his Torah. Lo l'shamte, what if I don't put him in excommunication? What's at stake there? Ka mischil shma d'shmaya. It's going to be a tremendous chil Hashem if we don't give him the punishment that he deserves. Wow. And the Gemara continues to quote what we've already said. They could only learn Torah from a Rebbe. And you know what? Because of that, they excommunicated him. He went ahead and excommunicated him. And eventually he died, this deviant Jew. And they wanted to bury him. And when they wanted to bury him in the regular cemetery of Hasidim, they did not accept him. And then they wanted to bury him in the cemetery of the Dayanim, and they accepted him. And you know why? Gemara says, because at least, although deviant, he acted like Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi holds that if you see someone whose Yetzirah got the best of him, if you yourself, rather, see that your Yetzirah is getting the best of you, Yelech Lamakom, She'en Makirin Otso. Go to a place where they don't know you. V'yilbash Shechorim, wear black clothing. V'yis'atev Shechorim, you know, kind of become, you know, anonymous. V'yaseh Mashli B'chavitz, do what you have to do. So do it in private. You know, it's obviously less than ideal. But if you need to sin, at least do it in a way that won't lead to Chilul Hashem. So this deviant Jew, so I guess in the end of the story, apparently it had come to the public surface. But at least he received somewhat credit, some credit for not doing it in the public sphere. Fascinating, fascinating. So there's one last Gemara, and then we'll start to really see Halacha L'maisa. 10 minutes left. There's a Gemara that says, it is a pasuk in Devarim, ki mimenu tochal v'osa lo tikares, and there's another pasuk that says, ototashin v'kares, hakeitzad, it's like this, im tamar chacham hagun, if the tamar chacham is hagun, then you should eat from his fruits, meaning basically we've been saying all night, that you should only learn Torah from a good Rebbe, and Torah says there, says, whoa, we already know that you're allowed to learn from a Rebbe who's not good, like Rabbi Meir learned from Acher, Rav Lisha ben Avuya, so no, don't tell me you're only allowed to learn from a Rebbe who's good. Rabbi Meir did it. And Tosfos over there in Tainas Zion and Aleph explains, no, Taman Chacham is different. He's able to learn, Lefi Shalo Yilman Mima'asav, Avalim Eino Taman Chacham, Eino Rashai. So the same distinction that was made before, earlier in the Gemara and Shas itself, between a Gadol versus a Katan, Tosfos is sharpening. And he says that if you're a Tamil Chacham, then you can learn from another deviant Tamil Chacham. Because you, as a Tamil Chacham, will understand not to learn from his actions. But that's a new level. It's a new level. Because it's not about, oh, once you're like age 13, you're like a gadol, you can learn from a bad rabbi. I said before, you're sophisticated. No, it's much more. Tosfos says, if you're in the status of a Tamil Chacham, you can learn from a deviant rabbi. Oh, and Tosfos in Chagiga Tazimabes has a very, very similar distinction. And how we're going to bring it to the practical realm. I will try to summarize everything. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredesh and Mamadal and Membez literally speaks about a Chacham, a Zakein, an Avbeistin, who is deviant. And the Shulchan Aruch says, well, we have to put him in excommunication, but at least don't do it in public, unless he's really bad like Yeravim ben Nevat. So if we have to give a Malkus, you do it privately. We don't like this. And we find unfortunate realities about great rabbis. However, if Isane Shimune, like the last Gemara we said, if he did something really bad, like he's an apikores, or people are embarrassed by his behavior, or it led to Chilul Hashem, then we go all out. So we've seen such distinctions in the response of communal affairs, whereby people who have been doing digging, they'll say, is it true, is it not true? And they will try very, very hard to keep things under the radar for as long as possible. And Rachmana Litzlan, if there are victims, if there is a danger to society, if the rabbi poses a threat, right, there could be, Rachmana Litzlan, more victims. So that's really when we kind of open up the news to the public to protect the public. Yikes. And this is where the Shach essentially paskins, like what we're learning in the Rishonim, whereby the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Harav she'eino holich b'derech tova, if the Rebbe is not good, even though he's tremendously wise, and you need him, ein lemeidim imenu ad she'yachzor lemutav. You can't learn from him until he does tshuva. And the Shach says, nowadays we have no one who is on the Madrega to learn from such a person. Meaning, when Tosfos said only a Talmud Chacham can learn from such a person, nowadays, says the Shach, no one is on that Madrega. And in our generation, we're basically too weak, and we cannot guarantee that we will not be negatively influenced. And therefore, we would not be able to say that we are like Rabbi Meir, who can learn from Acher. And halach lemaase, we are not able to learn from deviant rabbis. And that is, in fact, the psak of Rav Ozner in the Shevet Halevi. He says that you can't learn from the Svarim of such a person, and you can't learn from the deviant rabbi. And now we'll try to, in the last 5 minutes, kind of just speak a little bit more broadly. In the year 2015, so the Jewish Action, the OU's magazine, came out with a summer edition about, fallen leaders, something like that, or failed rabbis. And there's a lot of literature, you know, on this topic. And in that Jewish Action magazine, there was an interview with Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. And the question was, what does one do with the Svarim written by such a rabbi? And Rav Schechter says exactly Peter's chilek, but he starts by saying they should not be used. Since his Svarim include his ideas and rulings, they fit into the prohibition against studying Torah from someone who is unfit due to his improper behavior. Anytime someone writes a sefer, he fleshes out and resolves apparently contradictory passages. This is called being machriya. The type of person we are discussing is not qualified to be machriya, and therefore the Svarim cannot be used. If it can be verified that the Svarim and the halachic rulings were issued before the person's sinful behavior began, only then can they be relied upon and quoted. Whoa. So Rav Schechter, Rav Ozner, they don't seem to make a chiluk, but there's a wonderful Rabbi Yitzchak Breidowitz, a tremendous posek and insightful Rav, and he not only has an article, a very beautiful article, in that Jewish Action magazine, he was also interviewed on the Headlines podcast on this topic. And he's a little bit more forgiving. And he, I remember listening to him today, he said it's very hard to just like throw out all of the good because of deviant sinful behavior. Meaning it's very hard to just write off all of that good. And he writes, again, very broadly, very nuanced, and he explains the good that a person does is not destroyed by the evil. A lifetime of good work, Torah scholarship, and helping countless people in need is not destroyed by sin or mistake. Every person will have to give a din v'cheshbon for his averos, but the bad does not cancel out the good. The good remains. The good within the person remains. It is still there. The fact that someone fails does not mean that his or her life was a failure. Whoa. So again, that doesn't mean he's disagreeing with the Schechter's psak per se, because after all, it does say explicitly in Shas and the Shulchan Aruch, like, if a rabbi is sinful, we really clearly stay away from them, and we're very, very sensitive. And again, the Shach and the Birkei Yosef, in quote, earlier, all say it's a very slippery slope. We don't like going near people who are bad, and it's all intuitive. Imagine if you had a non-religious rabbi trying to teach you Hilchos Shabbos. Like, what are you talking? The guy doesn't keep Hilchos Shabbos. Like, what are you talking about, right? So it's intuitive. That being said, sometimes you have people who are religious. They just really messed up, and now they're maybe in prison or whatever, and there's this massive, issue on their resume, you know, that this kind of famous scandal or whatever. So this is what leads to these sensitive shilas. So we have to assume that there's a concept of tshuva, right? You can't just delete tshuva off the book either. And that's seemingly what Rav Breidowitz is saying. The Gemara in Brachos, Yates and Aleph, quotes Rabbi Shmuel, Im reisa tam b'chacham she'avar aver b'layla, Al tahar acharav b'yom. If you see a Talmid Chacham who sinned in the night, so you know what? Don't think too hardly about it, because the Gemara says he clearly did tshuva. El vaday asa tshuva. All right, so again, obviously, if he stole money, he has to return it, and you know, there are people who are really ill, and they you know, they might need a real counseling and medication, and yes, people also need to serve time in prison sometimes. But there is a concept of believing that people do tshuva.
Okay, but is there any aspect of this which is like kind of like current? So, like, okay, for example, I don't know all the details about it, but the Walter case, right?
Yeah.
So that was so heinous.
Yeah.
Like, no one's saying necessarily the books are good, the books are bad, it's a good message for kids. It's not. It's saying we wipe this off the face of the earth, out of our bookshelves, out of our schools, out of everything. Right?
Yeah.
And there's an aspect of that because the issue was so
heinous. Yeah.
But there's probably also an aspect of that, like, or there could be an aspect of that, which is, listen, if, you know, you have jaywalked, that's one thing, but if you, you know, if you have a triple murder on your hands, we wipe out your history because it's a little bit of a deterrent.
Or, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think anytime there are victims involved, that's what, I think that's where we draw that line. Meaning, let's say, you know, I'm going to get back to Howie's point in conclusion. The point I was going to conclude with, though, is that we always try to believe in tshuva, and there are many halachas about this. You know, the Raman Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, says even a Meshumud, someone who is totally heretical, Shechazer Bo, but he does tshuva, he becomes a kosher witness, miyad, right away. Machlokas, does he have to show signs of tshuva, or he just resolves internally to do tshuva? Because even if the Raman says, Ava B'Shulah Asa Adayin, even if he didn't really technically do the tshuva yet, we like when people do tshuva. And again, obviously we have to believe this is true, you know, anti-defamation suits and stuff like that. We're not getting to all those disclaimers, like, you have to assume it's true. But it is unfortunately true sometimes. I will just tell you one story in conclusion, because I have a little bit of experience with this stuff. And at one time, I was speaking in the context of an NCS by Tisha B'Av thing, and I mentioned one word. I said the word scar, and there was a victim in the room of a certain issue, and the sensitivity of these victims is like, you can't come close to putting it into words. So I think if hypothetically the Jewish community were to say, Chaim Walder's books are not treif, because after all, he did a lot of good, right? I don't think it's fair to the victims. I think that would be the chilek I would make. Meaning, in a Hanami, if there were no victims, we could say, listen, look at the books, they're great. Because, you know, there are victims, it's not fair to them. We're waiting for Smith. There's not 30 more, but I think Smichas Chaver is ending right now, I think, right? We're waiting for them to come down?
Are they
going to
come later or not?
No, we'll give them another. Yeah, but Jay Hirshhorn, yeah. Cohen can't do it, and if he's a murderer, right? Very good. So in conclusion, again, there is a concept on the books that we don't learn Torah from deviant Jews. But we also long for their tshuva. And in the same way, there is a glimmer of hope in the Adas Korach. We hope that even those people who have been convicted, we hope that their stories are not yet over. And we hope to learn of the comeback stories of Ezra Hashem, because the Torah is so beautiful. And the Torah of some of these people is so beautiful. How shameful it would be a bigger loss to Klal Yisrael to throw them away. So we hope that they make the return. And our job is not to talk about this stuff all that often. Okay, have a wonderful evening.